I'm so blessed to be with you and thankful to God. It's so good to be seen on this side. I had a death, near-death experience, and one of the conversations I had with the Lord that I hope when I'm able to process and share without being emotional was that I would see most of you on the other side. But I wanted to still see you on this side. Amen. Amen. Father, I love you so much and these precious people, their lives, their homes, their families, their legacy. We live in challenging times, but you are the God of the living. You are the God of resurrection life. You are the God of all hope. And I thank you today for clarity, for wisdom, understanding, simplicity, and just the ability to communicate your very kind of life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, it'll be a moment before I get there, but we're going to end up in Deuteronomy chapter 30. In 2016, the Lord spoke to me concerning an election in which I had never heard the Lord before in my lifetime, but he told me three things. I was faithful to tell you. Many people didn't listen, I don't think, or really seemed to care much, but he told me who the next president would be, which shocked me. And then he told me and showed me in a vision cities burning and violence in our streets. And then the third thing that I've been processing for now nearly 4 years is that he would reveal corruption. He would reveal corruption. I believed I heard the Lord. I've seen him come to pass exactly like he told me it would happen. But I didn't know what do you mean you'll reveal corruption? Why is God revealing corruption? There's a lot of crazy things happening in our world today, and it's very difficult for many people to discern good from evil anymore, right from wrong, God from the devil, up from down, in from out. And yet God is working mightily. God is moving mightily. We live in some of the most exciting times as a believer in Jesus that has ever happened on planet Earth. And yet even God's people are simply being overwhelmed with wave after wave of corruption. And God is revealing all this corruption. God's not doing all these bad things, but God is revealing all this corruption because you and your children and grandchildren are going to have to make some decisions. You're going to have some discernment and make some choices in the near future that are vital to not only our country, but to the church at large. And so I want to share on some of those things. And I'm being inundated, of course, with people wanting me to speak into this issue and speak into that issue. And what about this? And what about that? And saints, I don't mean this from an arrogant position at all, but I speak this from a humble heart, that there is nothing happening in our culture right now, in our streets in America, that I haven't already addressed. I've been addressing these things for 4 decades, and God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not changed. Maybe we need to change and get on His side. On His side. Because God is dividing light from darkness. God is dividing sheep from goats. God is dividing nations, goat nations, from sheep nations. And there's a day of judgment coming in which the nations will stand before God, and there will be sheep nations and goat nations stand before God. And we have to decide, are we going to be a goat nation or are we going to be a sheep nation? Because God judges the nations, and judgment will come at the appearing of Jesus and His kingdom. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25, the Bible says, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Man, in his arrogance and in his pride and in his rebellion to God, thinks he's holy, thinks he's just, thinks he's righteous, thinks he can discern good from evil, and he has corrupted even pure justice. He's corrupted righteousness. He's corrupted everything he touches independent from God. Independent from God. In that same chapter, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 29, the scriptures say that a violent man entices his neighbor. a violent man, a man filled with hate, a man filled with death and consumed with death and darkness, a man that is living in a culture that I've been sharing on death and darkness and hate. He compels his neighbor. He entices his neighbor and leads him in the way that is not good. Amen. Think about that and all that's going on in our world today. That violent men filled with a heart of darkness are compelling neighbors in a way, the way that's not good. What is the way that's not good? It's the way of man. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you want life, you must come to Him. If you want to have a life that is filled with His kind of life, with light and with love, then you're going to have to embrace Jesus in these last days and the cross. And that is the answer to all that's going on in our world today. Again, we live in a culture that is saturated with death. A culture, you're raising your children, your grandchildren in a culture saturated with death, outright darkness, blindness, ignorance, and hate. And God has called us as the church to be a counterculture to a culture gone bad. Somebody asked me again the other day, what's the world coming to, Pastor Dwayne? It's coming to an end. That's what it's coming to. You want to know what death looks like? You want to know what darkness looks like? You want to know what hate looks like? You want to know what a culture without God looks like? Just turn on the 6 o'clock news. That's what happens when we reject God. That's what happens when we reject the way, the truth, and the life. Many people think by rejecting God, they're just choosing their own way, when in fact they embrace and don't even know it, death and darkness and hate. And it consumes the human soul. It leads to self-loathing and hatred for oneself, hatred for other people groups, hatred for your own country, hatred for the kingdom of God. Literally, the heart of all that's going on is a hatred for God. It just works its way out in all these different pockets and in all these different ways. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 11 and 12, it's fascinating. The end of first creation meaning Adam created, the world created as we know it, that creation ended at the flood, Noah's flood. And at the end of first creation, Genesis chapter 6, verse 11 says, and God looked upon the earth and saw that it was corrupt and filled with violence. Yes, the end of the world in first creation ended with corruption. Everything got corrupted, so corrupt. Everything today is being totally corrupted. We have corrupt cops. And don't send me any more emails. I've dealt with this over the years. And even good cops hate bad cops. And there are corrupt cops and they need dealt with. And I've been speaking about this for 3 years. There's corrupt cops at the top in the FBI, in the CIA. There are corrupt people in authority that are literally scheming and trying to destroy our country. I despise corruption among the police department, but it is the police that keeps anarchy from breaking out and that keeps peace in our communities. We need good cops. And just because there's corrupt cops doesn't mean all cops are corrupt. Listen, there's corrupt politicians. I mean, corrupt politicians filled with the devil. But that doesn't mean every politician, and politics in its purest sense is evil. We need to resolve our differences, and we will have them in a free nation politically, at ballot boxes, not with bullets, not with burning cities down, etc., etc. There's crooked preachers. There's corrupt preachers. But I'm not one of them. And you can't throw the baby out with the water. There's corruption everywhere. Our media is not media. It's propaganda with an agenda to literally destroy this nation. And while I have loathed the national media and made jokes over the years, but told you how they're lying, now their lying is producing corruption and destruction that is not good and that will not lead to anywhere good. First creation was wiped out because of corruption and violence. That's how the first creation ended. Then from Noah, it's taken thousands of years for the earth to get as corrupt as it was in the days of Noah, but we're getting there, and we're getting there fast. And the coming of the Lord, it will be as in the days of Noah, the Bible says. And what does that mean? That means the earth is going to be filled with corruption and violence, and that we don't have anything to do with it. The second creation from Adam or Noah to the end will end at the appearing of the Lord and his kingdom. The good news in the second creation is God has come and brought forth a new creation. And that you and I are part of the new creation. We're a part of the new heaven and the new earth. We're a part of a kingdom of life, a kingdom of light, and a kingdom of the love of God that's been shed abroad in our hearts now by the Holy Spirit. And no matter what happens to the kingdoms of this world, the kingdom of our God will endure and it will stand until the end. Hallelujah. You and I must make decisions, and we must train and teach our children and raise them up in a culture. If there ever was a time that church was important, it's now. And yet there are powers that be that are trying to shut the church down. A good friend of mine, one of my best friends, celebrated our birthday as a nation last night and was under threat of being arrested by the Attorney General for having services, for peaceably assembling together. Under threat of arrest and being arrested to celebrate our freedoms and to celebrate our liberty and to come together peaceably and to hug one another and love one another and encourage one another in liberty and in freedom. He was under threat of arrest while riots were breaking out and thousands of people in the streets burning buildings down, looting and stealing, and no sense of justice in stopping it or even speaking out against it. If you speak out on half of the things I've already said, I'm shocked I haven't been censored. I'm shocked I haven't been cast out and cast off of Facebook. I just know even if they cast me off of Facebook, I'm gonna keep my face in the book, hallelujah. And I'm gonna see Jesus. And I'm going to see the kingdom of God, and I'm going to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, not man's perverted righteousness, but God's righteousness. And all things are going to be added to me and to your children. And again, if there ever was a time for us to assemble, our children need to be saturated in a culture of life. Our children need saturated in a culture of light, of truth, of honesty, of what is really real. And our children need to be saturated in a culture of love. John chapter 10, you're familiar with it. Verse 10 says, it's the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. What is wrong with Christians today? What is wrong with our minds? Don't we realize if we think like the world, we'll be conformed into their image, an image of death, darkness, and hate? And the only way you're going to be changed is by the renewing of your mind is the only way you're going to go through a transformation as a Christian. Yet we sound like the world in some cases. We think like the world. And we're shocked when we stand up and say something, or a preacher stands up and says something, or like my friend stands up and says something, that they come under assault. It's like, what is wrong with that preacher? No, what is wrong with the world gone awry? What is wrong with this world that is so in love with death and celebrating death and darkness and hate that any form of life is a threat? Any form of light is a threat, and any form of love, God's kind of love, is a threat. Have you found Deuteronomy chapter 30? Man, I apologize for that introduction. But if you haven't found Deuteronomy 30 yet, you're not going to find it. So would you look on with somebody? I don't see any screens. I tell you, I just died for a couple of minutes and the whole world went crazy. I can't afford to die. You can't afford for me to die. Hallelujah. But everything's just changed. I don't know. There they are right there. Okay. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, God lays before Israel life and death. And they had to make a choice. We are living in an hour where life and death is being laid before us. And choices have to be made. And children have to be taught. If the Lord tarries, you've got to teach your children what life is all about. You've got to teach your children what light in the midst of all this darkness is all about. And what love, God's kind of love, is all about. Look at this. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord your God. I've set before you life and good, death and evil. And here's how I set it before you. In this way, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways or his statutes and keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall be with thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if, now look at this, but if thine heart turn away so that thou wilt not hear. Do you know people won't hear today truth? They don't want to hear anything about life. If you speak the narrative of death, you'll be celebrated in our culture. If you speak the narrative of darkness, just lie. If you can lie and not blink, if you can lie and pervert and twist things, you'll be celebrated and you'll be held as a good person. He says, but if you turn away in your heart so that you will not hear, but shall be drawn away with worshiping other gods and serve them, I denounce unto thee this day that you shall surely perish. That's death. And that thou shalt not prolong your days upon the land whether thou possess it or possessed over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord. See, when you choose life, you love God. When you choose death, you hate God. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give it to them. God says, you have a choice. I don't make, says God, the choice for you. I don't choose death for you, and I don't choose life for you. I set before you life, which is good. And I set before you death, which is evil. Therefore, you choose life. And notice your choice will affect your children. And your grandchildren. To choose life is to choose to obey God. To choose life is to hear God. To choose life is to believe God's word, his commandments, his statutes, his ways, his principles. When you embrace the ways of God, you're embracing life. Listen, when you reject the ways of God, you embrace death. And that's what's happening today. Can you imagine me on CNN? Well, Cooper, the Bible says, the what? The Bible, Cooper, the Bible. Didn't you go to Sunday school? The B-I-B-L-E. The Word of God. This is God's way. This is God's principles. This is God's Word. There is a way that seems right unto man. It leads to death, but there is the way, Jesus Christ and him crucified. Faith in God, listening to God, obeying God, following God is following life, light, and love. Amen. Rejecting God is following death and darkness. and literally hate. And don't you just love God? He looks at Israel and says, look, I'm going to make this easy for you. Life and good, death and evil. A multiple choice question. Then God gives them the answer.
Choose life. Choose life. Hey, everybody. Life, death, good, evil. Choose life.
And yet they chose death. And I used to read that and go, what is wrong with them? Yet wake up today and watch an entire culture choose death. In Genesis 2, I need to hurry. God laid before Adam life or death. In Genesis chapter 2, look at verse 15. And the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Many people grow up under legalism, and they grow up not understanding the ways of God, the principles of God, the love of God, the grace of God, the goodness of God, all these wonderful things that God has revealed to us. And most of their life and their upbringing is, you can't, you can't, you can't, you can't, you can't, you can't. And then there's only like one or two you cans. God gave them thousands of yeses. You can eat of that tree. Oh, yeah, you can eat of that tree. Well, can I eat of this? You can eat of that tree. You can eat of that tree. You can eat of that tree. And by the way, the tree of life was in the garden, and God didn't forbid him to eat of that. He could have chosen to eat of the tree of life. But then God said, there's only one thou shalt not. What is it? But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now Adam lived to be 930 years of age. That's pretty awesome. Just thought of that. Maybe we need to be thinking a little longer. 930 years. But God said, notice in verse 17, he said, in the day you eat, you will die. He didn't say you're going to physically die. He didn't physically die till he was 930 years old. But God said, the day you eat, the day you disobey me, you die. The day you reject my word, you die. The day you reject my principles, my way, you die. And in that death, darkness begins to permeate your brain, and hate begins to dominate your heart. And the very next kid was the first murderer recorded in Scripture. Cain killed his brother Abel. Why? When you embrace death by rejecting God, your heart gets filled with hate. You become a violent person. You can't create anything anymore. You got to tear everything down. That's what a culture of death does. That's what a culture of darkness does. That's what a culture of hate does. And so God says, I lay life or death before Israel. I laid life or death before Adam. And now God is laying life and death before us. Look at Matthew 22. Matthew chapter 22. Lord showed me this years ago. Man, it just lit my fire. Never preached it. It's kind of one of those things that you see in the Word of God, and not everything you see in the Word of God you get to preach. Amen. There's lots of stuff I've seen you don't want to hear preached. Amen. Because people are dull of hearing. People have itching ears. They want you to tell them what they already think and what their emotions are telling them instead of the truth in most cases. And so they just can't hear. They just can't hear. That's why it wouldn't do probably any good in a forum like this for me to just start addressing this issue and addressing that issue and addressing this issue one at a time. Because people have rejected God, and once they reject God, the God of this world blinds their eyes even to the gospel. And so the only way we can see people changed is believe for these demonic influences to be broken off of their minds. And the only way that can happen is with life, light, and love. And so Matthew chapter 22, I'm gonna start, I think, in verse 32, 31. Jesus is dealing with the Pharisees that constantly are trying to entrap him. They tried to entrap him over questions about marriage, and he had to set them straight on that. And then now, they start talking about resurrection from the dead, and I love Jesus' response to them. He says, you do err in your heart, and you don't know the scriptures. I guarantee you, you go up to most people that are burning buildings down, that are looting, that are killing other innocent people. I guarantee you, they know not the scriptures in their heart. I can guarantee it. Just like Cooper on CNN. What's the Bible? And then I had to say something like, well, you know, God and a life with God, which God? Well, the true and the living God, Coop. Don't you know who the real, true and the living God is? They don't know. Because they're serving all these other gods. And we're seeing the results of rejecting God and a culture now of death, darkness, and hate. Verse 30, 31, 29 is where he says, you do err and you know not the scriptures nor the power of God. Then he talks about marriage and how we're not given in marriage in heaven. Verse 30, 31, but as touching the resurrection of the dead, you have not read that. Have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Let that sink in for a minute. Hopefully it's up there on the screen. God is not the God of the dead, but he is the God of the living. And then he quotes three dead guys. God is not the God of the dead. He's the God of Abraham. Abraham dead. He's the God of Isaac. Isaac dead. He's the God of Jacob. Jacob's dead. But how many of you know, because they had faith, obedience in God, because they listened to God, because they heard God's word, because they obeyed God's word, because they followed God, because they loved God with all their heart, all their mind, and all their strength, they were more alive out of their bodies than they ever were alive in their bodies. When God talks about life or death, he's not talking about physically dying. Right. If the Lord tarries, everybody's going to die. Yeah. Trust me on this one. Everybody's going to die. But I get to choose life or choose death while I'm still alive. Yeah. How do I choose life? I choose Jesus. How do I choose life? I choose God. How do I choose life? I embrace the Word of God. I let God be true and every man a liar. Watching our country implode has not been pleasant. It's been very torturous for me, and yet I've seen it coming. I've done my best to minister to you and your kids, your grandkids, to have a love for the Word of God, have a love for the kingdom of God, have a love for Jesus. Because I know in my heart of hearts, if we choose life, if we choose light, if we choose love, whatever happens to this world is not going to ultimately affect us. And yet I see your children being sucked into a vortex of darkness and death. Not even realizing the danger of renouncing their faith, renouncing their belief in the true and the living God, not even seeing the need for church. If there again was ever a time that we should be having more services, it's now. A time to get our kids together and get them out of all this death, all this darkness, and all this hate, it's now. And get the Word of God into your children. Get the Word of God into your grandchildren. It's the only thing that will endure forever. Let me give you some quick examples of choosing life or choosing death. They'll put them up on the screen for you, but Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17, we're not going to read all those scriptures, but that's the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments is just a synopsis. It's the Reader's Digest. It's the cleft notes of the Old Covenant. It's the short version. Here's what it's all about. Ten Commandments. Romans chapter 13, verse 10 says, love works no ill toward its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. It's talking about the Ten Commandments in context. That love fulfills those. Love for God embraces those, and that's embracing life, light, and love. And yet, how many have rejected the simplicity of the Ten Commandments? Kicking them out of our schools. If you think for 1 minute, dear ones, and I love you, I probably won't be asked back again anyway. But if you think for 1 minute just the pushing down and pulling down of statues is where all this is going to end, this is a cultural revolution. And history has told us over and over and over, it will not stop with statues. It will end up with toppling people. It will end up with pulling crosses down. It will end up with pulling and burning churches down. You can't have a totalitarian society. You can't have a Marxist society. You can't experience communism like God has given us the opportunity to witness in the streets without getting rid of God and the Bible. And yet we don't even see it. We don't even see our need for the Word of God. The first commandment, the first four commandments basically deal with a vertical relationship with God and actually a love for yourself. Because how many of you know that we are to love the Lord our God with all our might and strength and etc. And our neighbor as our... There is a healthy self-love. I'm going to say that again. There is a healthy self-love. There's an unhealthy selfish love, but there's a healthy self-love. It is not healthy to loathe one's self. There is no condemnation for those of us who are now in Christ Jesus. And so, the first one, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. Have we violated that? Have we rejected that? Have we bought into all this multiculturalism and embracing of all these other gods? Many have. Thou shalt not have any other gods before me. Thou shalt not bow thy knee to any graven image, nor worship that image. We are to only bow our knee to the true and the living God. His name is Jesus Christ, and ultimately every knee will bow to the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Of Jesus Christ, of things in heaven, things in the earth, and things under the earth. And then he says, thou shalt not use the Lord thy God's name in vain. Don't say God said when God didn't say. Make sure you represent me properly. Don't use my name in vain. Number four, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy is a healthy self-love. The commandment is to work 6 days and rest on the Sabbath. Y'all didn't catch that. If everybody was embracing life and light and love, we wouldn't have time to burn our cities down. We're supposed to go work. We're supposed to build up things. We're supposed to serve our communities and build our communities with our gifts and our talents and work for 6 days. On the seventh day, God says, take a day off, rest, reflect on me, rest your mind because your mind has to recycle and be refreshed. Rest your bodies. Your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit and you need to rest. Number five, honor your father and your mother. Obey your parents. And look at the attack on the home today and what it's come to. And you wouldn't believe the opposition I get when I try to minister on what a marriage is. When I minister on what a dad is and the importance of a dad. We've nearly destroyed the black community, removing dad from the home. And nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody dares say it. I don't believe I just said it. Did I just say that? Did I just say 70% of black children are being raised today without a dad? And how deadly that is, how harmful that is? Amen or oh me. See, I told you this wouldn't go very big. But you're to honor your father and your mother, and I'll make you a promise. I'll make you a promise, says God. You honor, you obey your father and your mother, and I promise you things will go well for you. It doesn't mean you won't have hardship. It don't mean you won't have opposition. It doesn't mean there won't be mean people in this world that'll try to push you down, but you will have things go well for you, and you will live long on the earth. I could spend time, lots of time. My near-death experience caused me to be able to reflect and look back in a supernatural way. It's just amazing what's on the other side. It's Paul said he got caught up into the third heaven. See, there's three heavens. There's the atmospheric heaven. There's outer space heaven. And then there's that third dimension heaven where the saints dwell. And he said, I got caught up into that third heaven. And he said, I saw things, I heard things I cannot articulate. I know what that finally means. There's just so many things happen in just seconds. And one of the things I saw was, I'm alive today because of the Word of God. I'm alive today and will live today and will fulfill the will of God. God gave me a word and I'm supposed to give it to you. I'm supposed to give it to the young generation. You will not die, but you will live till you serve your generation and fulfill the purposes of God. That's the word of the Lord. We will not die till we serve our generation. God said I hadn't fully served my generation and fulfill the purpose of God. Acts chapter 13, that was said about David. One of the things as I had this flashback is that I literally saw Urias was raised from the dead after being dead for 30 minutes because of Jacob's obedience and honoring of his mother and his father. And how many of you know your kid dying, that's things not going well for you. And I saw Urias raised from the dead, and God told me through this last experience that I had that that was him keeping his promise to our kids for obeying us and for honoring us as their parents. Number six, that I needed to get through five. I apologize. Number six, thou shalt not kill. That word kill means murder. Don't email me. I didn't talk about animals. I'm going to kill more. I'm alive and I'm looking for innocent blood. I'm going to shoot some animals. I'm going to eat them. I'm going to clean them. Amen. It's not talking about that. It's talking about killing. And it's talking about murder. It's not talking about war. It's talking about murder. Thou shalt not kill. Now, what do we not understand? What are we missing? Thou shalt not kill. Cops shall not kill innocent civilians. Rioters in the streets shall not kill cops. And on I could go. Everybody okay? Number seven, thou shalt not commit adultery. We'll just fly past that one. Don't get up. I'm sorry, I've been gone a while. I was preaching one time and I mentioned adultery, and I mean, this person got up in the middle of the service, mad, screaming and hollering. I mean, and just left the church. I didn't know they were in an affair. They thought I was calling them out. I didn't know it till they got up. So stay down. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Quit Quit breaking your covenant vows. It's not love to cheat on your spouse. If you're going to embrace life, if you're going to embrace light, if you're going to embrace love, you need to be faithful to your spouses. And then the number 8, thou shalt not what? What is wrong with us? Why am I a bad guy? Why are people mad at me when I say we shall not steal? Stealing is wrong. And you have to teach your children life. You have to teach your children light. You have to teach them love. Love doesn't steal. Look, I don't care for Target either, but I'm not going to take their TVs.
Oh, come on. Whole world's burning down anyway. I might as well just go up in flames.
People justifying stuff. When God says, that's death, that's darkness, and that is hate. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness on the 6 o'clock news. Lie after lie, false witness. The damage being created is over the top. It's scary. We all know in our heart, bearing false witness isn't nice and it's mean, but it's destroying people's lives. It could destroy our country, all this false witnessing. And speaking of lies. And then, I mean, thank God for number 10, thou shalt not covet. At least now we can all be humble. I might not steal, but I can't even want to. And I've been tempted to steal before. So that's wrong, amen? I've been tempted to bear false witness. Man, I praise God I'm delivered from that. That I chose life. Let me quote this one to you now, all right? That's choosing life. Let me show you choosing death. Let me show you what it looks like. That's what choosing life looks like. That's what it looks like. What does choosing death look like? Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 through 19. There are 6 things that the Lord hates. Yea, 7 are an abomination to the Lord. I used to read that, and I'm telling you, it took me years to get this figured out. I feel stupid now. And I know you understand the Bible. You just read it and angels sing and you, that makes perfect sense to me. I used to read that and think, God, why don't you just spit it out? Were you stuttering? Hey, there are 6 things I hate. Yay, 7 are an abomination. Why don't you just say there are 7 things you hate that are an abomination? Amen. Why say there are 6 things I hate? Well, 7. They're an abomination to me. Because 2 of them are closely related, but they're different. 2 of them are closely related, but they're different. Look at the first one, a proud look. A proud look. Do you realize the same people that are constantly trying to tell me to be tolerant and not to judge are now judging people with their self-righteousness that lived over 200 years ago? Amen or oh me. We're all flawed. What is the big news that man is flawed? There are no perfect people. We're all flawed. There are no perfect countries. We're all flawed. But do we have a heart for good? Do we have an ideal and a purpose toward God and toward good and a bent for good? A proud look, the arrogance of people today in their judgmentalism. Number 2, a lying tongue. A lying tongue, just lying. It's like lie, 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 lie. Look at number 3, hands that shed innocent blood. Hands that shed innocent blood. You know, I'm not big on movements, period. I'm just sold out to the kingdom of God. So I struggle with all movements. Martin Luther King Jr., you've heard me say before, I probably admired him as much as anyone in my generation, or before me, actually. I was a kid when he got killed. I'm not really big on movements themselves, but boy, I would really be tempted if there was a movement called All Black Lives Matter. That might get my attention. That might really, boy, I don't know, man, I just really can't. Because, see, I believe all black lives matter. And I believe even if I get censored, even if I get put in jail, it won't matter. I'm a preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you, God says all lives matter. And he's not a racist. God is not a racist, and all lives matter, and all black lives matter. The black lives that are being killed every weekend in Chicago, that baby, that three-year-old that got killed in the middle of all this mess, their life mattered. The black babies in the womb. You talk about a professed racist. You talk about a white supremacist. Can't think of her name. Margaret Sanger, that's it. Margaret Sanger wasn't accused of being a racist. Wasn't accused of being a white supremacist. Margaret Sanger was a professed racist. A professed white supremacist. She founded Planned Parenthood and purposely built them and put them in the black neighborhoods to kill black babies because she believed black people were inferior. And I will be accosted for what I just said. Amen. That breaks my heart that people could be that deceived. Where was I? Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devised wicked imaginations. Don't you think for one minute that this uprising is spontaneous? It's been planned for decades. It's been planned for decades with hearts that are filled with wicked imaginations. Feet that swift, running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. See, there's one thing about lying. Then there's a false witness. See, when you're lying, you're usually protecting yourself. When you bear false witness, you're trying to destroy somebody who doesn't think like you, talk like you, or act like you. Welcome to Marxism. Man, I pray you got eyes to see what is going on. And then, he that sows discord among the brethren. You know what the devil wants more than anything? Separate you and me. Separate you and me. I'm going to end with Proverbs chapter 8. You need to go there. Proverbs chapter 8. Thank you, Jesus. Proverbs chapter 8. It's not in the notes, so. Verse 32. Proverbs 8:32. You need to write it down. You need to look it up. I'm going to sum it all up. God is laying before us life or death. Life, good. Death, evil. God and the Holy Spirit is saying, choose life. Choose life. God and the Holy Spirit is speaking to every parent, every grandparent. Look your children in the eye and teach them life and the value of human life. I can't believe I opened this series up January. And everybody ought to go back and listen to that first hour where I talked about, you know, I might have to deal in this series with socialism and communism. I don't want to. That should be dealt with at school. But it's like people don't even know what it is anymore. They don't realize if everything gets torn down, saints, what's going to be left? What's going to replace it? I'll tell you what will replace it. Death, darkness, and hate. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 32, now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Can I get a witness? Yes. Blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whosoever findeth life shall obtain favor of the Lord. For whosoever findeth me findeth what? Can you see how life is choosing God? How death is rejecting God? Whosoever findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Watch this. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. See, once we choose to reject God, we destroy our own soul. He that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, and they that hate me love death. Hallelujah. Well, I want to thank you for that thunderous applause. Amen. And I really am excited about this. I believe we're going to see a revival in our country. I believe we're going to see a revival in the church. I believe that the devil has been exposed because God said, I will reveal corruption. Why would he tell me that? I've been struggling with it for 3 years. Now I know. Because we're coming to a place that we got to make some choices. And I vote for life. I vote for light, and I vote for love.